Shalom, all praises, glory, and honor to the Heavenly Father, Yahweh, in the name of His only begotten Son, Yahweh Shai. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is nigh. I wanted to share some information with you in regards to this book. It's actually on Amazon. I saw the information on BitChute. And the name of this book is called Transhuman Genocide, and it's going into EMF shielding, directed energy weapons, and artificial intelligence. For some out there, you've heard me speak about, you know, directed energy weapons and artificial intelligence, which is transhumanism. This is the tactics and the satanic devices that this wicked demonic society, with America being, you know, the watchdog of the New World Order. On your dollar bill, it says Novus Ordo Seclorum, which means New World Order. So through the Luciferians and the Freemasons, their agenda is to bring in a one world order government and society through transhumanism. So the author of this book, he details, you know, some tips in regards to shielding. You know, right now is a small population of people that are being directly affected with EMF weapons or technology, but for those that think that it's not your problem, they plan on targeting everyone with this type of technology. So I'm gonna play the audio because he is speaking in regards to the satanic system through, you know, 5G or 6G, those cell towers, which are weapons, and how they plan on using those to depopulate. They're basically assassinating people covertly with those weapons. People that actually speak out and or against the New World Order's agenda, they're being systematically targeted and genocided. So here we go, I'll play it.
Many versions will be out there, ebook versions, soft cover versions, etc. But in this broadcast, we're going to be talking about the PDF version that's currently out there. It's basically a copy of the manuscript, and it essentially has everything that all of the other versions will have. It's just a little less expensive because you don't have to buy it through Amazon or Barnes & Noble or stuff like that. You can get it directly from us. But before you buy it, you may want to see or know what's in it. And you may be thinking to yourself, you know, how does this guy know anything about cell towers? So, or energy weapons or anything like that. So before we get into what's in the book, let's talk a little bit about the author. And that way you can kind of think about if this book is right for you. So essentially, I've been broadcasting for over 10 years of Stranger Than Fiction News. We've been everywhere. We've been banned everywhere. At our peak, we had over 1 million subscribers on Fakebook, reaching millions of people a day, more people than ABC Nightly News, until we got banned like many other people just before the pandemic. But I wasn't always broadcasting, and I didn't actually go to school for broadcasting. How I got into broadcasting is a bit of a long story. But basically, as an undergraduate, I studied biology and computer science. And I liked college so much, I stayed there for like 7 years. For the most part, I was going part-time and working full-time, selling Chevys at the main dealership in Fargo, North Dakota. Gateway Chevrolet, in case you need to, you know, check that out. And when I finished college, basically, I ended up in Rochester, Minnesota, home of the Mayo Clinic, and also a pretty big IBM town. And I was going to do something in my field, but basically I was offered a job at an even better Chevy dealership selling brand new Cadillacs and Chevys and all of that stuff. And then basically I woke up to 9/11. I started doing, you know, truther stuff back in 2003, 2004, and amazingly, within a span of like 30 days, I got fired from my job. My girlfriend left me, and all of a sudden, it started feeling like there was some gang stalking going on. I ended up talking to an attorney, who also ended up being in the military reserves and a well-connected guy. I'm like, you know, it feels like the government is stalking me for, you know, talking about 9/11. And the dude was like, it's not us, it's religious. I didn't really appreciate what he was saying back then, but eventually I decided to basically go see the world. And I went to Europe in 2005 and basically became a perpetual tourist and just traveling and seeing, you know, what's out here in the old world, the cradle of modern human civilization. After a while, I basically got fed up with, you know, basically doing the tourist thing and took a job at Apple in Ireland at the European Central Command, basically a Crystal Palace at Cork, Ireland, and I managed the AppleCare help desk out there. So if you had a problem with your Mac, with your iPhone, with your Apple TV, and basically, you know, if the front lines couldn't deal with you, then you ended up with somebody like me. After a while of working for the Beast system, I basically, you know, took off and landed in the south of France in the Pyrenees and basically started broadcasting Stranger Than Fiction news out there. And the rest kind of became history. Now we're basically banned everywhere and so on and so forth. But we've done so much damage that essentially we became a target. And I've been under siege by energy weapons for the last 3 years. And if it wasn't for my background in science and technology, I really wouldn't have much understanding of what was happening to me. Basically, I figured out what was going on and started to shield. And a siege began, and it's still ongoing. And I was basically forced to do a mountain of research to survive. And given what's going on in the world right now and all these people that are being targeted, Havana syndrome, targeted individual, et cetera, I'm like, you know, all of this research is probably going to be, you know, worth something to people out there, especially the victims. And so basically we put all of our research together and put it into a book. And we basically, you know, started telling the story of what's really going on in terms of artificial intelligence using cell towers and energy weapons to target people. So, you know, this is the product of many months of research, and basically the concepts have been verified, fact-checked, and tested, field-tested against the system. So this is a very unique book. The information is very unique, and the conclusions and the concepts that we cover are basically something that you're not going to find anywhere else. And we've made some pretty huge discoveries in terms of what is effective against directed energy weapons. Now, to give you an idea of, you know, where things are today, we're going to play a little video of basically a UV laser that any sheeple can basically go buy at the hardware store. And this is a pretty potent weapon up close. And even if somebody were to point this at you 100 yards away, you would probably feel it. Now, of course, this is a a tool for the sheeple out there. And what the military has and what the deep state has is much more advanced. If you could put this in modern terms, it would basically be like, you know, comparing, you know, your AR-22 or your rifle to the guns and missiles that the military has. You know, this sheeple laser is basically like your AR-22, and it's nothing compared to what the deep state has developed. But, you know, this particular bit of technology is quite impressive, even if it is, you know, basically made for the sheeple term we like to use. Everybody likes to use that term. Not sure what the video guy is doing, but it looks like the software doesn't want to cooperate. So pretty impressive technology for regular people. And compared to what the military has and what the deep state has, you know, it's really nothing. So energy weapons are real. And this is basically one of the things that we really wanted to get across in this book, because there's a lot of skepticism as far as, you know, do energy weapons even exist? You know, a lot of people are out there living in their own world and they don't even know what's really going on, really. And so, you know, that's one of the obstacles that we feel like we had to address, because wearing armor isn't something that you necessarily want to do, or putting up shielding isn't something that you want to do, but you're going to need to do it if you want to survive what's out there right now and what's coming. And basically what's out there is a death grid of directed energy weapons that's controlled by a Skynet type of computer. And, you know, there are many terms for this system that's out there right now. And we feel like there's multiple overlapping systems, but one of the systems is the Jade system. You might have heard of Jade Helm. All of that was something that people were talking about a few years ago. But basically, this computer is at the helm of the new Defense Department, so on and so forth. But it's the problem is much more elaborate than that. But basically, they've unleashed this system on the public, and it's connected to everything that's smart technology, including the cell towers, including the cell phones, and so much more. And it's actively taking people out, and it's making it look like natural causes. And this is something that's well known in terms of microwaves causing cancer, microwave weapons causing cancer, heart attacks, and strokes. And so they basically use this as the heart attack gun, and it's all automated by a central computer, basically. So that's kind of like the pretext to the book. And so we're going to show you the PDF version, and we're going to go through the chapters. There's quite a few chapters. We're just going to preview like a page or two in each chapter, read it out, and just kind of talk about the concepts, so on and so forth. And the soft cover version is going to look slightly different, bigger pictures, et cetera, et cetera. But the concepts are going to be the same. So you can get more elaborate versions of this book at a more expensive price. But basically, this version, which is the manuscript version, has everything that you need. And so you'll see what I mean there in just a little bit. But basically, so we start with this cover on the inside. We have multiple covers for it, and basically one will be for the digital copy, another will be for this soft cover book. I don't think we're going to do a hard cover book, but you never know. We'll see what the demand is. So that's basically page one. And we do a dedication dedicated to those that have been killed or injured by directed energy weapons. And we have the table of contents. And so basically it's the introduction, electromagnetic waves, directed energy weapons, the nightmare of directed energy weapons, different chapters you'll see. Shielding strategies, safe rooms, the tile system, grounding, military-grade armor, attenuation, shielding materials, magnetic shielding, surviving the shadow war, emergency shielding, quick summary, conclusions, and then the FAQ section. Basically, I wrote most of this, but the FAQ section is basically my interactions with ChatGPT. And there's, you know, so much information there that we felt that it was worth just putting it in the book. And you'll see what I mean when we get to that section. And I'm just thinking about, you know, where to go next here. But the FAQ section is a very comprehensive Q&A section on everything related to electromagnetism. And, you know, I could be there for hours talking about it. Oh, this is what I wanted to say, too, is that we've noticed that they basically have modified, you know, the ChatGPT algorithm so that it's a little less, you know, helpful. And we were thinking that that was going to happen. So we basically archived all of the information before they started getting wise to the extraction, if you will. So yeah, I'm glad that we got all of this information out of it before it changed management over there. In any case, let's get to it. Introduction. Oh, you know what? Got to go back to the table of contents. Before we get to the introduction, basically, again, one of the obstacles in our way with most people is that they don't even think energy weapons exist. And so we basically start the book with a list of the major manufacturers of directed energy weapons: Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, MBDA. I was going to say MDMA, but that's has nothing to do with this. BAE Systems and Rafael Advanced Defense Systems, which, in my opinion, I think that's French. And of course, we wanted it this year because the mark of the beast is on everything that you buy. And this is basically a subplot of the book. The AI, the transhuman agenda, the genocide is basically based on the beast system or beast system ideology. And it's all here on the barcode on everything that you buy. And of course, this was
I just wanted to add the beast system. It's the satanic system that will be in place that will connect the mark of the beast chip, which is the RFID microchip. When you look in the book of Revelation chapter 13, it goes into how no man will be able to buy or sell without having the mark. And that mark will be an implantable device implanted in the right or the left hand or the forehead, which is the brain chip. Elon Musk is the one who's pushing Neuralink. So this technology will connect every human being as they are projecting, which you're going to have a remnant of people that will not take the mark of the beast, because taking the mark of the beast will forfeit your salvation. Those that take the mark of the beast, the RFID microchip, will be destroyed and will be thrown in a lake of fire, which will be World War III, being left here in Babylon the Great during that time period. So those who consent to taking the mark will not have a chance. They will not be forgiven for taking that mark.
And, you know, I got some backstories from Rochester being in an IBM town. But basically, you know, I wasn't thinking of it as gang stalking at the time. I was thinking, you know, basically, it looks like these people have been assimilated. And you've probably encountered the NPCs and have probably thought something similar. And so there's a lot of speculation in terms of, you know, where they are in the assimilation process. And in our opinion, it's much further along than most people think. Okay, so the introduction is basically like this. So I guess I'm practicing for the audiobook here, but excuse me. Artificial intelligence continues to grow in every domain as it advances towards a beast system. Cashless society, digital IDs, social credit scores, brain chips, 15-minute cities are all on the horizon as the establishment prepares to enslave you with a form of tyranny that is far worse than anything you could possibly imagine. As we struggle to make ends meet in a time of hyperinflation, the forces of evil are positioning themselves for total control of the planet and the assimilation of humanity. Now, of course, we're featuring Elon with his beast armor. And so as he's out there basically trying to cater to conservatives, never forget that this guy is basically part of the beast system and he likes to flaunt it. It's not like a, you know, it's not a conspiracy. It's not speculation, you know, and all of his girlfriends, wives, et cetera, all basically like hardcore witches. There's no doubt that this guy, you know, is basically of the dark side. Hopefully, you know, that ties into this and people kind of see the connection. But we try to spell it out as much as we can. So continuing on, much of the world around us is already controlled by technology, and it won't be long before this technology begins assimilating humans like the Borg. This process of assimilation is only a few short years away, thanks to brain hacking technologies such as Neuralink and Starlink. And so, you know, most people have kind of figured out that the Neuralink is there to assimilate people, but they don't necessarily see the connection to Starlink. But the idea will basically be to connect people to the grid via the Starlink system. And so we go on and say, the plan is to link everyone together into a hive mind that is controlled by a supercomputer. Companies like Tesla are at the forefront of this process and are even preparing to unleash an army of robots that will later be used against us. Meanwhile, SpaceX has become the new Space Force arm of the military, which means eventually there'll be no stopping where this technology can be imposed. This Elon Borg system is not only at the front lines, not only on the front lines of an industrial revolution, it is literally preparing to harvest the mind, body, and soul of every human that walks the earth. And then we feature a recent article. The Pentagon is moving towards letting AI weapons autonomously decide to kill humans. So Skynet is inbound. And you'd think people would learn from, you know, the movies, right? But no, it's become their religion. Unfortunately, the X Factor isn't alone trying to make assimilation happen. Tech companies worldwide are working together to facilitate an AI takeover, an event that they refer to as the singularity, a term that astrophysicists also use to describe a black hole, which turns out to be very fitting given this singularity event will suck everybody in and reset the world as we know it. And so the end game is to use technology to destroy everything organic on the planet. Every natural life form on the earth is being slow killed as part of this future assimilation process. And so this isn't speculation or conspiracy. I mean, it's basically on Time magazine, it's on National Geographic, it's basically, you know, the talking points at the WEF. Not sure how many people can remember Klaus saying, one day you'll be able to I'll be able to hear what you're thinking, you know, and stuff like that. And so, you know, they're all pushing the hive, and that's where they want to take it. And so, you know, basically the introduction goes on and talks about that. It talks about the link between technology and pandemic since the Spanish flu, and there is a correlation there, as well as with COVID. You know, first came the 5G, then came the COVID. And so technology is basically being used not only to make people sick, but to control people. And, you know, the left always loves using safety as a pretext for control. It's part of their problem, reaction, solution paradigm. So we go into that. We go into other things in the introduction. And
All right, Salaki, I do apologize. I was trying to look up the definition of hive mind, and I'll do that right now before I start the audio. Because, you know, the person who's narrating, he had mentioned the word hive mind, and I just want to read it for those who may not be aware of what hive mind is. It basically is in regards to the insect world. Insects, they operate under a hive mind, such as bees or ants, you know. Okay, so the hive mind, it means a notional entity consisting of a large number of people who share their knowledge or opinions with one another. So that's going into, you know, the terminology now, but I wanted to get into the definition of how it relates to insects. So the hive mind is a collective mental activity expressed in the complex coordinated behavior of a colony of social insects, such as bees and ants, or ants, regarded as comparable to a single mind controlling the behavior of an individual organism. So they all have like this form of almost like telepathy, where they're all working together. This is why ants or bees are so productive. But this devil, he wants to use that same concept to control the minds of every human being for total control. Because the beast system is satanic, it's evil. It's nothing about it that's righteous. It is a way to steal one's soul, to reprogram the thoughts of an individual. You know, so far as your personal beliefs, you know, our spiritual beliefs, believing in the Heavenly Father, believing in the Messiah, believing in the book, the Holy Bible, all of the wisdom, you know, the knowledge, wisdom in it, all of our social, moral, civil laws, all of that they want to get rid of and have computers, robots control humanity, and they really want to do away with, you know, human beings, merging man with machine, or creating a sentient world, which is a an alternate reality, just like the movie The Matrix. You had that movie years ago, Tron, and then what's the other one? Avatar. All of these movies they put out there in Hollywood. So they're using the cell towers as weapons to assassinate those that, you know, aren't down with the system, that will not comply to the beast system, the satanic, demonic beast system that's, you know, merging the genders. This is why they're pushing transgender, confusing, you know, human beings, you know, mainly the young people. Because this devil using social engineering to destroy the family. The Israelite culture is based off of family, based off of generations. So this is why the Lord said that he will cut the time short for the elect's sake, because if not, no flesh will be saved. This technology they want to use on every human being on the planet. So this is why repentance and being protected by the blood of the Lamb, because the way that this devil is going full steam ahead, he's on a mission to destroy everything. You know, the beast system is AI, artificial intelligence. the microchip, the doing away with cash, doing away with sovereignty of nations, doing away with property. So you would no longer own property. You would no longer have your choice of what type of food you want to eat. Total control and total enslavement. And you hear people like, what's his name, Klaus Schwab and that other minion. And you can see and hear how demonic they are. They're totally possessed by evil spirits. So I'm going to finish playing this audio. So here we go.
So that spans a good 15 plus pages. Then we get into electromagnetic waves. So in this chapter, it's basically hardcore science in a way. And so we'll kind of give you a preview of this chapter. EMF radiation can be described in many ways, such as a frequency on the EMF spectrum. I could read that better. EMF radiation can be described in many ways, such as a frequency on the EMF spectrum. Physicists describe EMF as both a particle and a wave that is neither here nor there, according to quantum mechanics. EMF particles can act strangely as well, and will even change their trajectory simply by watching them. This is known as the observer effect. When electricity flows through a wire, it produces an electromagnetic field. And so, basically, this is the best image that I could find of this process, believe it or not. If I had some more time, I would have made a better one. But basically, we just grabbed this off a physics book. When the current flows in just one direction, direct current, DC power, the field is said to be static because it does not move and just sits there surrounding the wire. This static EM field consists of two independent fields, the electric field and the magnetic field. The electric field forms an invisible tunnel that runs down the wire from start to finish. This tunnel then sprouts ring-shaped magnetic fields so that the entire EM field along the wire looks like beads on a string. So basically, the green here would represent the electric field, and the gold donut here represents the magnetic field. And so this is why it's called an electromagnetic field or electromagnetic radiation, because it's basically two components that are quantumly entangled, if you will. And then we go on and say this tunnel then sprouts ring-shaped magnetic field, so that each magnetic field bead is a toroidal ring that is perpendicular to the electric field tunnel. In AC power, the flow of electrons constantly inverts or oscillates in the wire, and that causes the electromagnetic field surrounding the wire to shed like an outer skin at nearly the speed of light. The shedding process occurs every time the current alternates or inverts and is somewhat similar to a person being thrown off of a rug during a rug pull. This pulling of the rug or inversion of the EM field dumps everything that was on the wire into the environment. And basically, this is happening on every wire that's connected to the grid. So every wire is technically an antenna broadcasting at 60 hertz. And of course, this can be amplified and focused and directed with, antennas and even further with weaponized gear. Such as directed energy weapons. So there's a stepping up process between, just an electrical wire to a regular antenna, like a Yagi antenna, to basically something that you would find in a directed energy weapon. So that's, we go into a lot of physics and in chapter two, but it's all basically qualitative, so we don't do the math. Most of the books that you'll find on EMF shielding are basically like math books. It's mostly math and little concepts. And that's something that I didn't really like as an undergraduate, was quantitative analysis of whatever they were talking about. So I feel like a qualitative analysis is probably a little bit more interesting in terms of a book. So we'll get to directed energy weapons. And so basically, in this chapter, we go through all the technologies that are associated with directed energy weapons. And there's basically about 15 or 20 main technologies that have been repurposed from the nuclear or medical industries and have been weaponized and deployed in infrastructure. And this is something that we talk about in the introduction as well, the mass deployment of these weapons basically while we were sleeping or doom scrolling or watching the news. They had an agenda and we were just basically being bounced around from crisis to crisis. And, you know, you got a glimpse of that during the 5G lockdowns, during the COVID lockdowns. You were locked down, but basically they were sprouting the death towers everywhere. And, you know, they've been doing this for years and now they've basically, you know, reached a crescendo and have surrounded us with a death grid. So there's a lot of profound concepts and the like in those introductory paragraphs. Okay, directed energy weapons are a combination of technologies that come together to form a weapon. Typically, there is the energy source, and then there is a mechanism that guides or directs that energy to the target. In most cases, a type of generator is used to generate a specific type of energy or frequency, then a dish or barrel is applied to direct that energy to its target. The most common forms of energies that are produced for energy weapons are microwaves and subatomic particles. Here's a brief summary of the types of energy weapons that you will encounter. And so basically there's the phased array antennas, which hopefully most people are aware of, the MIMO pads, etc., patch antennas that basically are beaming people, as it says in their very own literature. So we didn't make this graphic. You know, most of the graphics like this, we basically peeled off of public sources. Beamforming technology such as 5G involves the use of special antennas called phased array antennas, basically like a mini harp, to focus beams of radio frequency energy at unsuspecting targets. So it's basically energies that range between 400 megahertz and 2.5 gigahertz for the most part. And so we give you some graphics there. We cover magnetrons, Mercator weapons, Varactors. It almost sounds like Jurassic Park. This is basically the typical structure of an energy weapon. Basically, you have the source, and then you have a barrel that generally will energize the radiation even further. So generally, the barrel is electrified, and the energy is amplified, and then it comes out of an antenna, which is usually a horn antenna, but it can be basically a rod. So it kind of depends. Gyrotron weapons. Cover gyrotrons. What's happening here? Is this thing not loading? No. We're waiting for it to load. The Klystron weapons. So basically, this is a nice little weapon. And here's the antenna. Basically starts with an electron gun, a buncher cavity here, a drift tube, and a collector, and then it just kind of shoots out that way. Here's another one that's basically, this is a traveling wave tube weapon concept, and basically you've got these ring antennas here, and basically just kind of shoots out. You see how these modules are basically pretty compact. Quantum gun oscillator weapon. And so this is a very nasty one because the waves that are generated by this one basically are able to penetrate shielding through a process called electron tunneling. And this is something that we actually kind of talk about quite a bit. Free electron laser weapons, FEL weapons, which are basically really nasty as well because they can be hybrid weapons that are both microwave and particle beam. And they can be tuned infrared, the infrared spectrum, so that they're invisible. and they can consist of x-rays. And so you can have x-ray tubes and all of that basically weaponized as well. Amplified spontaneous emission weapons, ASE weapons. The most common that you'll probably find on the field will be the solid state microwave weapon. So basically, you know, there's a stepping up process between typical emitters or transmitters to radar level emissions to basically energy weapons. And so you will see solid state microwave radars on the market for boats, and you will see magnetron radars available for boats. But stepping the power up even more turns that technology into weapons. But solid state weapons are probably the most common form of microwave generation. Is this thing still loading? So it is a pretty big one. Big file. Okay, so backward wave oscillator weapons. We're not going to get into that. The particle beam weapons. Linear accelerators, look at this cannon, right? So this is the LIMAC. And basically, there's a huge series of technologies that are similar to LIMACs, cyclotrons, synchrotrons, spallation, neutron sources, radiography accelerators that have been weaponized, Van de Graaff accelerators, proton therapy cyclotrons, radiation therapy, linear accelerators, and this is basically the core of a portable linear accelerator. So it is pretty small, but you can see the barrel action and the like. And so these tubes are basically here to electrify and amplify the power. And then there's the, you know, well-known laser weapons, ruby red lasers, and the YAG lasers are basically the ones that you can see. Otherwise, the rest of them are invisible, infrared, ultraviolet, fiber lasers, solid-state lasers, et cetera, et cetera. Then we basically get to the nightmare of directed energy weapons chapter. And so here we really talk about you know, what you're going to be experiencing in the field eventually, if not already. And so we begin this chapter. Weaponized EMF can come from every direction, even from underground. And this is going to be a big wake-up call to many people that have never heard of that. And they can rain down from planes, satellites, weather balloons. We made this flat earther friendly. Blimps and drones. While some people only worry about cell towers and smart meters, other people are trying to survive massive attacks from modern-day energy weapons. These weapons have been systematically in every city and in every town and extend into the countryside, even in remote locations. These weapons are positioned as nodes on a mesh network in a grid-like pattern. These weapons use artificial intelligence for targeting and can pick out victims from a crowd in a way that is similar to facial recognition software. That means there's no place, is safe once the system is targeting. The grid of energy weapons is being used by governments to secretly target woken up to the deceptions of propaganda and indoctrination. They're not just silencing people through censorship. They're taking people out with energy weapons in an asymmetric war against truth. The aim of these weapons is to purify voter demographics and to eliminate dissent, the type of social credit score system that is enforced with futuristic weapons and other forms of punishment. Their method of choice is to silence influencers that post regularly online with censorship so that people will forget about them, and then the system attacks the victim with energy weapons to cause cancers and other diseases. And this is done discreetly in many cases, and the victim has no idea that they're even being targeted. The assassinations look natural, raise little concern, and nobody cares if the victim screams. Otherwise, the victims would protect themselves, and the killings would be splashed everywhere on the internet. So basically, you know, we talk, that's a pretty big chapter, and we talk about quite a bit of stuff there. That chapter spans 45 pages, 35. stages. Now, in the next chapter, we talk about shielding strategies. So it begins like this. Each person has different needs when it comes to shielding. Protecting yourself from Wi-Fi is way different than trying to survive. Attacks from energy weapons that have been designed to kill by artificial intelligence. When it comes to protecting yourself from normal EMF exposure in urban environments, just about any type of shielding will make a huge difference. Ready-made EMF clothing is an easy yet expensive option to explore, and regardless of the type of clothing, any shielding is better than nothing. Clothing made out of EMF fabric offers excellent protection for standard non-weaponized EMF. Iron-based fabrics are the least expensive option to protect fairly well for their thickness. Copper fabrics are the middle of the road in terms of price and offer fairly robust protection. Silver fiber fabrics are the top of the line, and paying extra for it is definitely worth the price, but be sure not to get scammed with silver-colored EMF fabrics that are actually made of iron or copper. Genuine silver fiber is made out of silver metal, and it is a kind of fabric that you should be looking for. Clothing made out of silver fabric is pretty much the only thing you can wear against the skin and is the only EMF fabric that is washable. The problem with ready-made silver EMF fabric clothing is that it's only one layer thick, and most hats don't even have a protected brim. Any type of EMF clothing can save your life. However, if ambushed by an energy weapon, it won't stop most of the pain or the long-term effects from that energy weapon, but it can repel enough energy that the weapon doesn't instantly kill you in an ambush, more than likely. Aluminum foil can save your life as well, but a single layer of shielding material won't be enough for the kinds of weapons listed in this book. And so we kind of go on from clothing. We start talking about other solutions that are basically out there, like frequency jammers, USB sticks, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually we get into the strategies that will protect you from military-grade directed energy weapons. And so that ends up being a pretty big chapter as well. Safe rooms, we talk about safe rooms as well. Protecting an entire house with shielding that is strong enough to resist energy weapons is next to impossible for most people. The cost alone would be well above $50,000 or more, depending on the size of the house and the materials used. Some new homes are being constructed with EMF shielding features, such as outer walls and roofs reinforced with grounded copper plates, but the costs are enormous. Even coating a house with a thin layer of EMF paint would cost thousands of dollars with very little effectiveness against directed energy weapons. That's why making military-grade armor, according to our specifications, for less than $500 is the cheapest and most effective solution, despite the obvious inconveniences associated with wearing armor. As we mentioned earlier, there are technologies that can penetrate outer shielding. No matter what you use, armor is still the best form of protection given the types of weapons that you're up against. While wearing armor might have an impact on your social life, so will being targeted with energy weapons. In any case, having a shielded room is still a must and will make your armor much more effective. So we talk about safe rooms and shielding strategies, and basically how to construct them and the different options, et cetera, et cetera. Then we do a chapter called the tile system, producing armor or multi-layered shielding, which is one of the big concepts of the book, because each shielding material basically has a sweet spot that it protects. And basically has many back doors, if you will. And so no shielding material will protect you from every type of radiation. And so basically you need multi-layered shielding for broadband protection. And so that's something that we talk about. And it's one of the major concepts of the shielding strategies that we talk about. Producing armor or multi-layered shielding for your home might seem like an impossible task, but using a tile system makes that process much more manageable. tiles or panels can be produced and deployed like kitchen tiles, allowing you to cover any surface little by little. Tiles can also be used to test out new shielding materials and can be swapped in and out rather easily. Begin by cutting out cardboard to use as a template. Using templates will allow you to produce standard sizes of all your different shielding materials once you've cut out and insulated the shielding materials. All that's left is to sandwich them together layer by layer and to seal them up, and the tile is done. It's best to practice with aluminum foil before using more expensive materials. Each layer should be fixed in place with a bit of scotch tape on each side before moving to the next layer. Keep things uniform. Each layer should be sealed with packaging tape, Ziploc bags, or laminated to protect the material from liquids and oxidation and to prevent eddy currents, as previously discussed. So we're not going to get into eddy currents right now. That's a long discussion. Template sizes for tiles should vary, but a must-have size should be about the length of your body from the shoulders to the waist and be about a foot to 15 inches wide. These tiles are not only useful for shielding, but can be used to quickly make body armor as well. So that's, that's good information if you need to mass produce shielding materials. Grounding. So we talked about grounding. Everybody knows something about grounding. Grounding works by connecting shielding to a low resistance pathway ground wire so that frequencies and electrons can flow away from the shielding material and into the ground. When conductive materials are grounded, it allows electromagnetic energy to dissipate to the ground, reducing the level of EMF that can saturate and penetrate the shielding material. Grounding has limiting factors such as the thickness of the ground wire as well as the electrical conductivity between the shield and the ground itself. There are many issues with grounding, especially in urban environments, because the ground is saturated with electricity. And so if you plug into the ground, chances are electricity will come up from the ground into your shielding materials and saturate your shielding and basically render it ineffective. And so grounding, in theory works really well, but having a reliable ground connection is another story. And if your house has basically a smart meter, it may shut off your grounding connection if you use the outlet. So you may have to do your own ground rod, and we talk about that as well. Military grade armor. So this is basically, I think, one of the most important chapters in the book. And basically here we talk about how to make high quality armor from materials that you'll put together. And basically, you start with a foundation of EMF fabric and foil. Generally speaking, it's copper and aluminum foil and an EMF fabric. And basically, copper and aluminum complement each other really well against energy weapons. When you apply it to EMF fabric, it gives you something that's durable, and it gives you something that's lightweight and that's fairly effective. And from there, if you need more protection, then we talk about an array of advanced shielding materials that are basically designed or made for directed energy weapons. And so we've basically come across some major discoveries that basically allow you to protect yourself at a fairly reasonable price. And so there's a specific list of materials that we've discovered and that we want you to discover so that you can use them for your shielding. And some of these materials are basically things that you'll repurpose from the hardware store, which includes lead, includes things like high-density polyethylene, which is awesome for particle beam weapons, neutrons, and the like. And we talk about other exotic materials or powders that you can use to mix your own epoxy and to coat your protective materials. And it might sound like super tough. And so you basically get some epoxy, you get some metal powders, and you mix them up, and you basically apply it to shielding materials with a spatula, outdoors preferably. And it dries, and you can use that. And, you know, some of the materials that we talk about are like boron carbide and magnetite. And so basically, we go through a lot of things that you probably have never heard of that turned out to be extremely effective for making armor. And so we basically give you ideas, patterns, et cetera, to do so. We have to speed this up because basically this is becoming a monster broadcast. Attenuation. So we talk about attenuation. You'll see that term. And when you buy shielding materials, they all promise you like exceptional, you know, protection. But basically, the values that they talk about are, you know, based on rigged lab results for the most part. And so when they talk about attenuation, they don't really give you the methods to how they got that number. They don't tell you, you know, what the frequency was that they used, how far the transmitter was away, what the power density was. You know, was it on full blast? Was it on low? And so all of that makes a huge difference. And generally speaking, they run the, you know, they run the lab tests that are most favorable for their material. And then they're like, oh, this thing has, you know, remarkable protection. And so people buy it. They get this false sense of security. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm protected. And then when the energy weapon hits, boom, you know, they're basically done. So we talk about that in attenuation. Attenuation refers to the reduction of the intensity of an electromagnetic field as it passes through a material. So we do a section on that. Then we go into shielding materials, which is basically an evaluation of all the different shielding materials that made it onto our radar, which is extensive, and we grade them basically on the ABCDF scale, and basically we kind of give you a table for some of that. We don't do this table for all of the different metals and materials that are out there because it just would be forever. But you know, like the major ones, we kind of give you an idea of basically how effective is it for different frequencies at different thicknesses. And so basically, copper, for example, you basically have to be at the 3 to 5 millimeter thickness to be somewhat effective against radiation, but it's not enough for directed energy weapons for the most part. So, and there's a lot of different types of directed energy weapons. You know, there's the microwave weapons, there's the particle beam weapons, there's x-rays, and then there's like the radio frequency weapons. Most concerning is ELF because it basically can go through everything. And so ELF is what's used to communicate with submarines deep underneath the ocean. But essentially in its weaponized form, it's basically unstoppable. And it's one of the major things that we basically focus on in this book. How do you stop the unstoppable weapons? Because these weapons are made to be bunker busting. They're made to penetrate shielding. And so ELF is one of the big things that we cover. Book, and even though it's basically impossible, we found ways that will give you a chance to survive. And so not having this book is basically suicide in the 21st century, in my opinion. Then we talk about, so we go through all, basically all the metals, and we go through ferrites, go through a whole list of shielding materials that probably would never think of. So that's a good section. Magnetic shielding, we talk about the role of magnets in your shielding strategies. Magnets can play a crucial role against energy weapons. Some weapons can still penetrate shielding no matter how many layers you throw at it. Even if the penetration is significantly reduced, issues due to advanced shielding concepts, enough can still get through to cause severe pain and even death. So you may have to use magnetic shielding in certain scenarios. And, electromagnetic waves are sensitive to magnets. But magnets can be like a double-edged sword. Magnetic hypothermia does exist, and so you have to use magnets carefully, especially if you're using grids of magnets for magnetic shielding. So we talk about that in that section. Surviving the shadow war. So basically there's a hunt going on for humans. They're hunting humans down, and it's only going to get worse. And so basically this chapter starts like this. This is to survive targeting, you will have to endure the worst case scenarios using less than perfect shielding options. The first few months of being a target are dark times, to say the least. The most important thing is to focus on survival and to look beyond the things that are working against you. Focus on making shielding full-time until you can stabilize. The shielding concepts discussed in this book will make a huge difference, but the technology that we're up against is light years beyond where it should be. To understand what we're really looking at, what we're really facing, look no further than Mark Zuckerberg's now famous quote, "When I was human." So we posted that video again today in the Telegram feed. We've received numerous reports over the years of this nature that seem to suggest the assimilation of humanity was underway. None of it was taken seriously at first, but as time went on, the amount of evidence became irrefutable. Assimilation reports began surfacing in many circles around the year 2000. Etc., etc. Many of you have encountered the NPCs out there for yourselves. There was obviously a lot of talk about nanobots or nanotechnology in the vaccines, so on and so forth. And basically, that ends up being a pretty big section talking about the weapons that are being used to hunt you down and the strategies that the enemy uses to basically corner you and flush you out. Weaponized vehicles, so on and so forth. And so that ends up being a pretty intense section. Then there's a section that we call emergency shielding. There will be a need for emergency shielding if energy weapon attacks turn into a siege at your residence. Sieges occur when the victim tries to survive the attacks with shielding. Most people not have sufficient shielding to survive a siege. Given the strength of these weapons and their angles of attack, it would be easier to survive if attacks were only coming from a few directions, but these weapons will attack from every angle, including from underground. It's difficult to imagine such a thing until you've experienced it, and chances are you will experience this technology sooner rather than later. The idea of emergency shielding is basically to heavy-duty plates, not necessarily like heavy, like, 100 pounds heavy, but like heavy-duty in terms of like more expensive materials, and to have them in case you need them, which you probably will. And so emergency plates are basically heavy-duty plates that you can use in case of emergency. So you won't necessarily kind of shielding materials for all of your shielding, but you're going to want to have like super blades basically in case things get like that. And so this would basically be stacking every known or every available material all into one plate. And so you'll get a feel for why this is important once you read the book. A quick summary would basically go through all of the things that you really need in like a page and a half. So, that one is pretty self-explanatory conclusions. As we've said numerous times, there will be no 100% effective solution against the system, and that the problem we're facing is far worse than what's been described in this book. So be sure to change your profile of your shielding frequently. So be sure to change the profile of your shielding frequently.
force the system to adjust as much as possible. So the system adapts. And so shielding that works for a while, will eventually fail because they will find a workaround solution. They will bring in heavier weapons to overpower your shield, which means that basically you have to make your shield better. And they'll basically start upgrading the infrastructure, adding more transformers so that they can basically add more juice to the weapons that are there. And so you'll have to upgrade your shield over time. And so what works today won't necessarily work tomorrow. But what I can tell you is that with enough layers, it does work. And it's, at first it's kind of mystifying because you're like, oh, this should work. Penetrating, but we're talking about trying to make shielding that is military grade, that is only basically a few millimeters thick, or basically a centimeter thick, half an inch. And when you look at labs or places that require heavy shielding, they're using meters of materials that weigh tons, thousands of pounds. And we're basically trying to get that same effect with super thin shielding that's lightweight. And so sometimes you may need an extra millimeter or two. And so that shouldn't really bother too many people. But initially we're basically trying to get people to be able to make advanced shielding that's only a few thing. And if that fails, you may have to add basically an extra plate, an extra millimeter or two. But things, energy weapons are more complicated than you might think. And the physics are more complicated. If the energy weapon is parked basically on the other side of the thin wall, that's a much more difficult kind of situation than it being across the street or in the house next door. And so not every shielding concept will basically work for every situation, but the best solution is basically to make your shielding thicker. And eventually it will get to the thickness that's needed to stop the energy weapon attacks. And so that's basically what we're getting at in the conclusion section. Frequently asked questions. I think this is probably the best part of the book, to be quite honest. It's basically our raw interactions with ChatGPT. And so we'll give you a preview of that section. FAQ sections kind of mirror, reflect EMF radiation for radio frequency waves, which include signals from radio, cell phones, and Wi-Fi. Traditional mirrors are not effective. RF range, metals like copper, aluminum, and gold are generally better at reflecting these waves. Mirrors are typically not designed to be reflective in the RF range. I mean, that was an idea that I had how is EMF shielding defeated? The weaponization of electromagnetic fields poses a formidable challenge. Modern defense strategies requiring a profound understanding of the interaction between EMF and shielding materials, examining the weaknesses of these materials. Is imperative in fortifying defenses against emerging threats in the realm of electromagnetic warfare. And so, basically, I'm not going to read through this whole thing, but the main concept here is that there's really two kinds of shielding. It's electric shielding and magnetic shielding. So, again, we're dealing with an electromagnetic. It's two different components, and most of the shielding that's out there is basically addressing the electric component or the electric field component of the wave, and it does nothing for the magnetic field component of the wave. And basically, the main problem is that due to the properties of induction, the electric wave will induce the magnetic wave, and the magnetic wave will induce the electric wave. And so, if you block just one component of the electromagnetic wave, the other component will reinduce So basically, energy like this, focus on that weakness. And so you can put copper, you can put aluminum, you can put like all of these conductive metals to try to shield against EMF, and it works partially because the magnetic component makes it through and then re-sparks or reinduces the electric component. And so the EMF wave continues. And no EMF shielding is 100% effective, no matter where you get it from. They'll always say, you know, basically, you know, they try to throw it, confuse you with dB. Oh, this is 35 dB protection. Basically, nobody says 100% protection. Really doesn't exist. EMF, you know, gets through because of problems like this. And so we address this electromagnetic problem and we find solutions for it. And I think this is one of the big discoveries of the book. And basically, you know, when you shield against both, you're much more effective. And so you have to understand, you know, electromagnetism. You also have to understand electric conductivity as well as magnetic permeability. And so electric conductivity is pretty self-explanatory, but what is magnetic permeability? And so here's the next question in the FAQ section. Magnetic permeability is a fundamental property of materials that quantifies their ability to respond to magnetic fields. It measures how easily a material can become magnetized, or basically how well it can absorb magnetic fields. And so there's a whole class of shielding materials that are basically magnetic shield, that's basically magnetic shielding. And so you basically have to combine electric shielding and magnetic shielding principles together to make more robust, more military-grade shielding against energy like this. And so this is basically one of the big things that we focus on, and we look at it from every direction, and we basically come up with lists of all the materials that exhibit to the magnetic permeability. We rank them, which ones are the best, as well as with electric conductivity. And so that way we can mix and match the best ones in each category and put them together in multi-grade or multi-level shielding, multi-layer shielding, I should say. And so each layer addresses a different component of the EMF wave as well as different regions of the EMF spectrum. That way you really have broadband protection that is as good as it gets. And so, there we go, that's that one. What role does resonance play? So resonance is a big backdoor. If your shielding resonates, it basically becomes a parasitic antenna. And if they hit the resonant frequency of your shielding, basically the EMF will go right through. And they have ways to scan your shielding, basically see at what frequency it resonates at, and then they can just automatically so there's a few backdoors like that, resonance coupling, and basically we look at those issues and we address those issues. And this is another reason why you need multi-layer shielding, because if you just have we'll find the resonance frequency. And so if you have two or three different layers and different types of materials, it's not going to work. So this goes on 200 pages of FAQs, and in my opinion, this is the best section. But you have to flow differently on portable devices, like a phone or a tablet. And so the layouts are just different. You know, and the soft cover layout will be different. So I can show you screenshots of those, but basically, you know, the pictures go full page. And it looks full page on a phone, but it doesn't look full page on a PDF document. So it's a lot of work trying to just lay these things out. Anyways, we'll have to leave it there for this broadcast. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Until the next time, if you're listening to this, you are.